Some affair.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Thomas once again. This is, I stopped counting after 4 years, but I really appreciate him giving of his time. You know, the connection of Rabbi Thomas to Renach goes way back, as most of you probably here know. And next week is Rabbi Avi Heller, and the week after that is Rabbi Ovi Jacob. That's the rabbi someone who's in from Israel. And then we'll see. Without further ado, Rabbi Thomas. If it doesn't cool off, we'll, after Meyer, we'll move inside.
It's a short show.
Right, 9:15 is Meyer. Punkish.
Okay. Parshas Pinchas is probably the most read from Parshas Chumash, because whenever we have Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, and this week is Rosh Chodesh, we take out the Sefer Torah reading from Parshas Pinchas, the end of the Sedra, the section dealing with the Karbonos Musaf for the various Yom Tovim and so on. So usually when you roll through the Sefer Torah, you come to Parshas Pinchas, the columns are more worn. I assume that as an old Gabbai, I noticed that many times. But Parshas Pinchas has other things in it aside from the Karbonos. That's the end of the Sedra, the Karbonos Musaf. But it seems like many sedras, at least at first glance, to be a somewhat disjointed parasha. There doesn't seem to be a connection between the events. Just to go over very quickly, there are really five different issues. On my back of those. There are really five different events or five different subjects in Parsha Pinchas. The beginning is really the conclusion of the events that concluded last week's sedra, the incident with Pinchas. The aftermath of the issue with the Benos Midian and Benos Moav, the zealotry of Pinchas and so on, and the reward given to Pinchas, that's at the beginning of the Sedra, and along with that a commandment which is really presented in greater detail next week's Sedra, to go and destroy the people of Moav and Midian, the Tzoras HaMidyanim. That's the first issue, the aftermath of the Pinchas event. Then we have a census of the Bnei Yisrael at that time. This is the generation already that's about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's after the 40 years are over. So there's a census of the Klal Yisrael that occupies a good part of the Sedra. Sort of, I guess, we can include that in the census, but at the end of that is the story of the Bnei Slachot. Because this census is ostensibly to figure out how the land is going to be divvied up in Eretz Yisrael. It describes, and so on, that's what the census is about. So the distribution of the land and the issue of Bnei Slachot coming forward and saying that we want a chelek in the land also. And then the fourth unit would be the request of Moshe Rabbeinu to have Yoshua, to have a successor appointed. It's Yoshua that's appointed. It's not what Moshe had in mind perhaps originally, but Moshe asks for a successor, and Yoshua is named the successor. And then we have the Parshas HaMoedim. There are five really different events. Again, the aftermath of the Pinchas affair, from which the Sedra gets his name, Pinchas ben Elazar, the census, which will include Bnei Slachot, maybe as a separate entity, the appointment of Yeshua as a successor to Moshe, and then all the parsha of the Musafim for all the Yom Tovim. So anything that links them together, perhaps you could suggest that maybe there is a link on the basis of the following. At the beginning of the Sedra, the opening psukim in the first source, by the Rosh Hashanah, Pinchas Baraz Ben Aaron, according to Shivas Chamos of Israel, Bechanos Kinas Mizochem, the Lo Chilisias Bnei Yisrael Bekino Asi. That's a strong statement. I didn't wipe out the Bnei Yisrael Bekino Asi as a result of my anger. We'll leave it translated like that. It sounds like Kodesh Baruch wanted to wipe out, or was prepared to wipe out the Jewish people. 24,000 people did die. That's how we ended last week's Sedra Bolak, this Magefa, the plague. Wiped out 24,000 people. That's a significant number, especially when we consider the fact that I mean, every life is precious, but at the time of the Egel, it says that 3,000 were killed, just by a comparison. So 24,000 people die in this Magefa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sounds like Lo Chilisis Bnei Yisrael. It was like by Hulu, you know, like completed. It was completely ready to wipe them out, but somehow Pinchas presented that. L'chein amar innesin l'spisi shon, the fourth pasuk, v'hoi salo zarachov bris kunas olam tacha asher shikinu l'chalakov v'yichaper al b'nei Yisrael. That's what I like to look at, the phrase I like to look at. V'yichaper al b'nei Yisrael. Pinchas, his action atoned. That's how we usually translate v'yichaper, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and so on. V'yichaper al b'nei Yisrael. V'yichaper al b'nei Yisrael. What was the Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, the way we understand the word Kapara, it's not my kasha. The Medrash asked that in the second Sotah, Mid Rabba Parsha, Chof Aleph, in Simon Gimel. It says, V'hai Solo, Lazar Achar, V'chaper, V'chi Karban Hikriv. Did Pinchas bring any carbon? He did an action, okay, a dramatic action. He killed Zimri and Cosby and so on. But where does Kapara come into play here? Okay, b'chi korban hikri shenemar b'kapora ela lamercha shekala shofech daman shovishoyim kilu hikri korban. Let's just make a strange thing. You destroy, you eliminate, you kill the rishoyim, so that's like you brought a korban. Okay, I mean, the Medrash says it, so the Medrash says it, then the Medrash, and we, you know, we treat it with importance. But still, there seems to be something else, maybe, that's hinted at in this phrase, Vayichaper al b'nei Yisrael. And hence, in understanding the term kapara, perhaps in a way that's a little bit different than that which we normally associate with. Again, I'm not saying atonement is the wrong translation, but maybe there's something deeper to it. So if you look at a few other places where you have that shoresh, that word in the Chumash, it would appear that the word kapara, in its simplest meaning, again, it's not that atonement or Yom Kippur doesn't mean that, but it really means to cover over, not to cover up in the negative sense, but to cover over, so that's one of them. But looking earlier in the Chumash, again, when I was working with it, I was thinking whether the word, English word cover, you know, it was related to that word kapara. I emailed my father, who has some expertise in etymology, and he said it doesn't work. So it's not correct. He said that cover, the CO is part of the sort of the prefix, whatever. Anyway, but to be that as it may, I think that's what the word that's what the word means. Kapara, in a certain sense of covering over. For example, where do we first see that shoresh? It's in Parshas Noach, when Noach has to build the ark. He's told in Paragraph of Bereishis, possibly the third source, Atzei lecha tevas atzei gofer kim tases ateva v'chofarta osa mibayis unchus bat kofer. Now there, kofer means pitch, but it means something is covering or protecting. By covering, the sense of protecting, covering over to protect. So the ship, the teva, the ark is being protected, but it's the same shoresh, right? Chof peirei, meaning covering over, some sort of protection or some sort of covering. Okay. Later in the Chumash, the first time we have it in the sense of a forgiveness, but Yaakov, in Parshas Vayishlach. Gracious paraglamid beis posa kof aleph. When Yaakov sends, we remember he prepared for his confrontation or his meeting with Esav by davening and by preparing for war from that. But he also sent a gift, right? Doron, he sent a gift. So it says in Vayishlach paraglamid beis of gracious posuk kof aleph. Avmartem, he tells his children and so on, his servants, that they should, bring this offering of X number of Torah list, how many animals, and the male animals and female animals, and so on. So it says, "Amartem gaminei avdecha Yaakov acharenu ki amar achapra fonav b'mincha olechas afonav v'achrechener afonav ulai yisof fonav achapra fonav." Okay, maybe I can kind of smooth things over, if you will. After all, Esav, he assumes, is still angry at him for what happened all those years early. He stole the Bechorah, etc., etc. He said, wanted to kill him, and Torah says, so achapra fonav, right? But let me smooth that over. Let me cover it over. And it was because the phrase, if it would have just said, ulai yisof fonav, he'll maybe forgive me. But achapra, I'm doing something to sort of covered over. If anything, you would think that the subject of the verb would be Esav. He's going to mechaper, right? He's going to atone. He's going to forgive me. But here it's Yaakov talking about himself. Let me do something to cover his face, so to speak, to sort of blot that out. Kind of, sometimes you're a little kid, so he doesn't want you to see what he's doing, so he sticks his hand in front. He thinks if he can't see you, you can't see him, right? He puts his hand like this. But achaper, let me cover his eyes, so to speak. That's another, but it's the same idea, something covering over. Later in the Chumash, in Parshas T'Shalach, when the man falls for the first time. So in Parsha, the Perek Tes Zayin of Shmos, Pasuk Yud Dalet, it says, "Vatal shichvas hatol," when the dew evaporated, "Hinei al panei midbar dak mechuspas dak kakafor al haaretz." The man made some sort of covering. It's translated usually there as frost. It's some kind of a fine frost, like when you can see in the winter mornings, you can see on the grid, right? So that's what the man looked like. It was dakat mechuspas, means small white particles, will translate that way. But it was kakfor, the same shoresh. It was covering the ground, right? It was some frost covering the ground. Now, in the sense of related to human beings, we find the following din in Choshen Mishpat, Parashat Mishpatim, Perakaf Alap Pasuk Chavtes. okay, of Shmos and Parshas Mishpatim. There it talks about my animal gores, and it's already gored repeatedly. It's already what we call a Shor Muad. It gored yesterday, the day before, and so it's already the third time. And the owner was warned, it's a Shor Muad. The animal, the owner was warned, and he didn't watch the Shor, and so on. Then you see Shor Yisrael, Shor Yisrael, and it killed somebody, Shor Yisrael Kael, the Gamba of Yumas. The shore should be stoned, the shore has to be executed, shore on Nisko, but begam be'olav yumos. Also, the owner is put to death. Now, that you're not put to, you didn't kill anybody, your animal killed. So the next pasuk says, im kofer yusha, there's the word kofer, kofer yusha, a monetary penalty is assessed, that's called kofer. Rashi points out in the seventh source that Rashi and Perek Avot pasuk lamed, im kofer, the word im here doesn't mean if. Once in a while in the Chumash we find the word im, not as a, you know, a doubt if, but rather when. Okay, like im kesef talev, to lend money and so on. That's a Rashi quote. That's what it means here. She yashisu olav bezin kofer. It's not im kofer, if. That's what they should do. That's the imperative. Im kofer yushas olav. And the Sforno explains, I printed in Source 8, the Sforno there, per kavala posukhov test explains, gambal of you must really be the neshamayim chayim. Right? I mean, in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you caused this person death. Not directly, but you didn't watch your animal. Okay? Kishain shom edim shechavu bekofer. And if there are no edim, so bezin can't, it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of what needs to be taken care of. Right? But the next, next pasuk lamed, im kofer yishazal, im yo'idu edim be'ofen shechavu dayanim bekofer. Right? If there are edim, then the dayan of the judges assess kofer. What is the kofer doing that to? It sort of covers the person, right? It protects or it saves the person. The person is really deserving of death in a certain sense because he didn't watch his animal. The animal killed somebody. So he was negligent. That's the point. It's poshea. So the kofer kind of covers him up, covers him over. He's exempted from the death penalty. And as many mentioned before, the, you know, more obvious example, Parshas Truma, Shmos Perkafei Pasuk Zayin, so it's not about Sisa Kaporis. Zahav Tahor, right? The building of the Mishkan on top of the Aron was we call the Kaporis. Again, the same word. Rashi there in Parashat Shum explains Perkaf Hev Shmos Pasuk Yudzayin 10 Kaporis Kisu Al Aron. It was a covering for the Aron. Shah Pasuk Mamal. The Aron itself did not have a covering, so the Kaporis was put on, and then the Kuvim on top of the Kaporis, etc. Right, for Kapor, the Kuvim kind of sprouted out, if you will, out of the Kaporis. So the word Kaporis, it also means a covering. Right, so in all of these makoros, the word kofer, kapores, kfor, achapor, all the shorish here means some sort of covering, something to serve as a barrier, an impediment in between, whether physically or perhaps, which we say, halakhically or even emotionally and so on, in the case with Esav, right? And we find, of course, kapor in the sense that we know, but it really means the same thing with regards to other aspects of the Mishkan. For example, the Kohanim. In the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, Shmos Perek Chof Tes, you had what's called the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, 7 days of preparation when they set up the Mishkan and put it into, prepared to put into operation. It got put into operation on the 8th day by Hibayom HaShmini, Parshas Shmini. But before that, for 7 days, there was a preparatory period, and it had to eat certain karbonas, and the Kohanim had to eat, and it says in Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'achu osam asher kupar bohem l'male es yadom l'kadosh on v'zol yochel kodoshem. The Kohanim had to eat, those for whom asher kupar bohem, those were being covered, right? They had to eat the meat from the karbonas, and Rashi explains in the 12, V'achu osam ar'uon av'lishem. What's the kapara? What aveira do they do? What aveira do they do? Why was part of the preparation for the building of the Mishkan Asher Kupar? They haven't done anything wrong. So Rashi says there in 12, Asher Kupar Bohem Kol Zoros Vatiyu. In case there was something, some problem somewhere, the guy had the wrong machshava, there was something, you know, whatever would have happened, this is Asher Kupar Bohem, this act of eating these karbonas smooths everything over. And more specifically, you see it a few psukim later, there in Parshas Tetzaveh, Shmos Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Vav. This is regarding the Mizbeach. Ufar chatos tasel ayom ala kipurim v'chiteiso ala mizbeach v'chapercho olav. Again, you see that same shorish a couple of times. U'moshachta oso l'kadisho. And Rashi there in Tetzaveh says, Chof Tes Lamed Vav 14, ala kipur b'shua kipurim l'chaper ala mizbeach. What do you mean? Why does the Mizbeach need a kapara? What did the Mizbeach do wrong? Again, the way we're using the same kapara. It means we call Zoros with you. Skip part of Rashi. The rest is printed. Lecha chutzoch mikrozeh. Umedrish Torah's konim omer kaparas Mizbeach chutzoch. Shem hisnadev ish dover gozol melechas hamishkan on Mizbeach. Maybe when they person contributed to the Mizbeach, or to the, you know, the money was funny money, right? I mean, you know, you never know, right? Maybe there was money that went into this that wasn't earned properly, you know, and that's an old question we should take. I remember reading one somewhere that the president of the University of Chicago years ago came under fire because he took money from Al Capone, from various other gangsters, and you know, they said to him, it's tainted money, how do you build the university? So he said, my friend, the only problem with tainted money is it taint enough. That's what, that was his take. But not everybody agrees with that. You know, that's an issue. But certainly when it comes to Kedusha, so this was this Kapara. Again, it's covering over, right? You're not forgiving. You can't talk about forgiving him as bad. Didn't do anything wrong. You can't talk about even forgiving the Kohen. Didn't do anything wrong. But it kind of covers, you know, sort of patches up, if you will. It protects, it covers up. That's a suggestion of what kofar means. Now, in Parshas Kisisa, by the Egel, okay, again, the pasuk there, it says it in the sense that we understand or usually think about kapara. Periklam and Beis, Shmos, pasuk, Lamar, Achap, right, Moshe, and Vahim, Machara, 15. Vahim, Machara, is the day after the Egel. After the, you know, the breaking of the luchos and so, right, this time of year, right? We just said shiur b'tamuz. So this time of year, vayim ocher omer shalom atem chatosem chato gedola v'ato ele el Hashem ulay achapra ba'ad chatasem. Let me go up. Maybe I can bring about something to cover up your avera, right? And Rashi says in the next source 16, achapra chatasem osim kofer v'kinoa ustima l'neged chatoseichem. It's a separation, it's blocking, it's protection, it's a covering. I'll go up there and to clean up the mess, so to speak. Put up, if I can't clean up, I'll put something in the way so you can't see it. Sometimes you sweep the dirt under the carpet, or if there's a stain on the tablecloth, so you put the life on top of that part of the tablecloth. Whatever, you can't see it. So, in other words, that's what Rashi's saying. I'm going to cover it up. That's what the word nachapra means. Many times by Karbonos, I only printed one pasuk of many in the beginning of Parshat Vayikra. Yeah, I printed two of the pasukim. One is by the Chatos and one is by the Oshon. By the Chatos, it says several times. I printed one the first time. Perek Dalet pasuk Chav Vayikra. V'asa l'apor kasher solafar Chatos kein yasala v'chiper aleihem akom v'nitzlach lahem. There we find kapara associated with slicha again, in the sense that we normally have thought about before tonight. Normally thought about kapara, right? Slicha, right? And again by the Karbon Oshon at the end. Perek Hay pasuk Chav Vav in 18. V'chiper al akoin v'Hashem nitzlach al achas mikol shiyase lo ashmava. Also v'chiper al akoin v'nitzlach. So again, in those two places you find kapara associated with slicha. Okay, but again, now having said all this, it's not a contradiction at all to what we've been saying, because in a certain sense, what kapara is, maybe the effects or brings about slicha because it covers up the aver, it doesn't eliminate it. Okay, but it covers it up. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we find in Parshas Achrimos 19, Perek Tzayin Pasuk Tes Tzayin Vayikra by Chiper Al Hakodesh Mitumos Bnei Som Pishem Lachol Chatosam. Right? Okay. Ken Yasel Omer Hashochin Itam Besilch Tumos. Part of the Yom Kippur service was not only to affect the atonement for the people, but for effect for the Mikdash and so on, as Rashi says in 20. Al Nichnas La Mikdash Betumah V'Lo Nodelam Besol. Sometimes a person entered the base of Mikdash Betumah, didn't realize. Okay. B'Shogeg or B'Mezid. Okay. In the sense of Yom Kippur and on a personal level, of course, the famous pasuk 21, Ki Vayom Azei Chaper Lachem Latar Eschem Mikol Chatos Sechem L'Nei Hashem Titor. We all know that pasuk, right? Repeated numerous times throughout Yom Kippur, right? And it says again, Yechaper Aleichem. Now again, Kapora here is forgiveness, but it's a form of forgiveness where you're not eliminating the Avera, but rather you're kind of covering it up. Now is not the time, perhaps not the Shir, but those who remember reading perhaps Ala Tshuva, the famous work that they put out for the Yartzeit Drasha of Soloveitchik and Rav. So the first essay in Ala Tshuva is about the difference in Kapora and Tahara. Right, because the pasuk has two verbs: yichaper alechem, letairishem. So, what's kapora? What's the tahara? So the kapora is, you know, basically says is you know, covering over the sin. It's not limited. With tahara, eliminates you. You're a new person. Like a person goes to the mikvah and comes out, they're like a brand new person. Right. So that, again, that's a longer shir in its own right. But that was the rav's basic yisod, that there's kapora. What we're saying kapora, you're covering it up. It's okay. It's A level. But it's not the full of it. The full of Yom Kippur brings about Tahara and so on a higher level. That's Latiris, and that makes you a new person and so on. So that's something to bear in mind. That's why Yom Kippur can work with regards to Kapara, at least according to one sheet of Rebbe, in the Gemara Yuma, Pehavit Beis 22, the Sanya Rebbe Omer, Al Kol Aver Shvatar, Bein Asa Tshuva, Bein Lo Asa Tshuva, Yom Kippur can be Chaper, even though it's a Tshuva. What? How can it be? Okay, that's a sheet of Rebbe. If you don't know, see, not a nobody. He, that's what he said, the discussion, but that's a sheet of, how could it be? So the Rav said in that Shashir, he said that's exactly the point. It doesn't say you can have Tahara without Tshuva. That you can't get. Okay, but Kapora, some kind of Yom Kippur has the power. Itzumu Shiyom Bechaper and so on, Yom Kippur has the power to sort of cover over the chait, not eliminate it. Okay, but covering over that, even without the person doing Tshuva, yeah.
The Midrash by Pinchas said that it had to be for the function of the korban. We not say that by Yom Kippur as well.
No, so that's what I'm saying. That is what the Midrash says, and it could be that the Rambam talks about the korban, the soil azozo, you know, affects that and so on. And in Achanami, I'm not really. I only mentioned I hear your question. It sounds like you don't need it. I'm suggesting you don't need it. I'm saying a little different than the Midrash. I just put the Midrash in the kasha. Really, why is it called the kapora? It's like you brought a korban. But how? You know, in what sense? It may be that it covered up like a carbon does. It doesn't eliminate it totally. But anyway, that's what Rebbe said. Having said all of this, okay, I just mentioned one other point. Okay, you know the. Pasuk in Parshas Korach. Also, by the way, he told me without tshuva. If you remember, the aftermath, this is after the earth swallowed up and everything, there was another kind of rebellion, and a magefa broke out, which Aaron had to stop. How did he stop it? Perkid Zion, the Midbar Psukim Yidalf, the Gimel Be'omar Shal, Aaron, Kachas Amach, to take the Torah, remember, and run around the camp, right? And it says, V'holech me'er le'ida v'chaper aleyem. Okay, ki yotzo ad neketz ma'vim v'heich la'negev. V'yikach Aaron, kachim v'mosh, v'yor tzal toch ha'kol, and so on and so, v'chaper ala'om, and he stopped the magefa. So, there too doesn't say that people did tshuva. He stopped the magefa with a kapora, the offering of the ketores, and that ties into the korban, can affect some form of kapora. Yom Kippur maybe doesn't need it, because the power of Yom Kippur maybe works without the korban, conceivably. But in any event, those are sorts where we have kapora. Now, bring it over to, getting back to that medrash, which talks about the death of Rishoyim, sort of serving, if you will, the death of Rishoyim, serving, if you will, as some form of, you know, like a carbon. So the Mishnah says in Hagan Ayin Aleph in phase 24, Shemisoson shel Rishoyim hanala hen hanala olam. A wicked person dies, it's good for him and it's good for the world also. Okay, why is it good for him? Rashi said, "I'm on the base 25. Hanoel lahem she'ein mosif alachto. They won't do any more avarice in the world to come. Won't punish for it. But hanoel olam she'shokta kol aretz. Things calm down. You get rid of the agitators, right, and the troublemakers, and the rishonim, so the world calms down. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that the Mishnah continues, and it says that for tzaddik. So the opposite. I forgot to print the rest of the mission with the tzaddik. So rala hem and rala olam. So Rashi says, the first he saw says rala hem shenimnu laharbot zchuyos. They won't have any more zchuyos. But rala olam shemitivin ledorim begufim onor chapmos. So they do good for the other people. Aval gam meginim aleim ma'an shme onshe shemayim mitzikosim. But perhaps what the Medrash here in Pinchas was getting at the back in source two was the Medrash was saying by getting rid of the rishoyim. By getting rid of the Rishoyim, so that enables the tzaddikim, so to speak, to win the day, and their deeds or their behavior can meginim alayim, that's going to cover and protect, right? The Maisim Tovim win out over the Maisim Ra'am on balance in the world, and therefore the meginim me'on she shamayim, right? It prevents onesh. Maybe what kapora means is, or one of the definitions of kapora, covering over and not just covering up, but bettering, it prevents what otherwise would happen from happening. Right? You see that Aaron went around with the Torah, whatever that magic was, how the Torah works, Rashi quotes, it was a soul, a rose, a secret from the Malachim, whatever, but it stopped the Magefa, and it prevented what was supposed to happen, or could have happened, from happening. And that's the beginning of our schedule also, the little chilis, because Baruch Hu wanted to wipe out Bnei Yisrael, because the mice the people of Midian. But it didn't happen. That's the notion of kapara. So therefore, if we look at it from that point, theme number one in the sedjah, which is the story of the aftermath of Pinchas, relates to explaining to us what kapara is. Pinchas vaychapra b'nazir. Even if you don't go so far as the Medrash goes to say it's like a carbon, but we could say it. It's like a carbon in the sense that it covers, protects, and it prevents whatever was supposed to happen from happening in a positive sense. The next event or the next entity of the Seder is the census, right? And that's in source 27, the next psukim in Pinchas, Perakov, Psuk Aleph, Dalet, Layachar, Magefa, Varshon, Velaz, Avenar, Akhman, Lemo, Su'us, Rosh, Kodas, Meso, etc. Count, make a census in the age of 20, and so on and so forth. Okay? And then it says at the end of Psuk Dalet, Men Ezra, Nomad, Akashir, Tziba, Shon, Rosh, Meso, Hayot, Tzim, Eretz, Mitzrayim. Just like the census which was taken out when it came out of Eretz Mitzrayim. So many of the Mepharshim wonder, what's the purpose of that last phrase? That's why they're changing, right? Kasher Tzivo Hashem is Moshe v'Nisrael Hayotzim Eretz Mitzrayim. What is that? Yeah, just like the sense that came out of Mitzrayim. So the Rishonim, the Hadar's Canaan, that's the Balei Tosfos, the Rosh, other Balei Tosfos. And later the Meshech Chochma says on his own, in 28, right here in Pinchas, V'Benasim Shana Kasher Tzivo Hashem, etc. Lohutzu Chakal HaPosuk Zed, it's all Posuk, not necessary. We need it for it. We know. Chari Pasadale already said us what the tzivu was to count from the age of 20. Look back in base. It says, so what do you have to repeat again? I mean, the whole pasuk is unnecessary. So he says, no. They're telling us that the census was carried out in the same way that was carried out then, namely through the giving of the matzah shekel. You didn't count the people. We know from Parsha Shkolin, and that's the pesuk in the beginning of those, right in 29 of Parsha Shkolin. Okay, the opening section of Parsha's Kisisa, right there it says you have to give matzah shekel. That's how the count was done. What are the operative words there? So look again. The census also was a way of somehow affecting kapara, and it says twice Yudalit and Tes. I'm sorry, Yudalit and Tes. Yudalit, yeah, Tes. Well, I guess both end with the phrase lechaper alafsho sechem. Okay. Someone got cut off. But okay, it should say, it doesn't matter. That's why we got cut off, I'm saying. But it doesn't matter. It says, Psukim en lechaper al nafsho seichem. The census somehow was an act of kapara. In what sense? So many mefarshim, Rabbi Abachai says it openly in Parshas Kisisa. I'll say it outside the same few moments in 30. He says, because when your judge is individual, you know, who can stand up to judge an individual? When you're part of the group, so then you're sort of attached to the mice. That's all concept of Tila B'Tzibur. You're attached to the mice and totem of others, right? And actually, a negev bifkodo sum, as it says in Pasuk Beis. You know, an individual, it's hard to stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu or anybody, you know, and withstand the prosecution. And so we all have mistakes and errors that we did, and so on and so forth. But when you're with the Tzibur, right? Now's not the time, but the whole concept of the Tzibur. So Rabbi Abachai is saying, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying the purpose of the census was to include all of B'nai Yisrael, everybody together. Now, if we assume that the same thing is true, like the Hadas Kanim said, of this census here in Parshas Pinchas, so here, before they go to Eretz Yisrael, what is at least one of the purposes of the census? Kapara. That the Jewish people are going to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to get this kapara, they're going to be looked at as not as individuals, but as a group, and that's the kapara is a theme, in that sense, of the census as well. The next thing is the story of the Bnei Tzofa.
Do you have any idea, reason why the Torah wouldn't say it directly?
Well, wouldn't mention kapara here, you mean?
Yeah.
Or
shekel, like...
Yeah, yeah, it's a good question. Again, unless, if you learn like that, it's a candle. It says kashet, see, that's what the pasuk is saying. But you're right, I don't know why. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay?
What was the question?
He was asking, why did it say here also, because that you've done through the matzah shekel. Said it in the Kisisa. So I'm saying the Hadar's Kingdom says because, well, that it does say. It says it's supposed to be done here the same way it was done as in, when they came out of Mitzrayim. But they could have been more clear. Okay, like many places in the Torah. Okay, the next issue is the Bnei Tzofchot, right? The Bnei Tzofchot come forward and identifies them by name and so on. They say that Avinu, the key post festival, Avinu Mace by Midbar. He was not part of the gang of Korach. He died for his own sin. Okay? And Rashi there explains in Parakav Zayin Pasuk Gimel 32. What were they trying to say? They're trying to emphasize he died for his own chet. Okay, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what is chet was? Some say it was the Mekosh Neitzim, some say it was the Mapil, everywhere. That doesn't interest me. But what is the idea of saying it was not from the Mislonim and not from Adas Korach? So the Gemara says, Mababasa Kufir Chesam Beis 33, Mislonim Adas Korach lo hayolan chelek baretz. The Bnei Sofa would not have come forward asking for land through their father had he been from, according to this Gemara. I'm not in a discussion whether it's correct or not, but for our purposes tonight, the simple reading of the Gemara. They would not have come forward. That's why they emphasize Kibichet Omeis. What is Kibichet Omeis? Well, once he died, okay, he had, quote unquote, his own, he had kapara, right? They said, our father had his kapara. He died. He wasn't from that group, you know, that were denied. He had kapara. And it's interesting, if you look, I printed from the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeis and Shin Lamed Chesiv Beis, the Seder Achon Atzan, the Seder Vidu of Ishchimra, a person's on a deathbed, so you can say the Vidu, you won't have to say it. So he says, and it says, Modir V'Hashem HaKaiva, etc., etc., if I'll get it every four shlemim is good. Vim almost on the second line, Tehei Misosi Kapora Al Kol Chatoim V'Onos Poshati Upshoim Shechotash Ufish Poshat Mar, etc. Right? The part of the video of a Shechimera of a person dying is Tehei Misosi Kapora. So basically what the Bnei Sofer was saying is what? They're saying our father had a Kapora. Okay, in other words, this whole census was the kapara of the tzibur. Our father's part of the tzibur, and it flows directly from that point. Our father was not from the Adas Korach. He died kibechet omei, whatever his chet was, but he had his own sins. But he had kapara for those sins. His death is kapara. Therefore, we're entitled. Following this, there's a request on the part of Moshe. An interesting pasuk in 35. Perikov Zayin Posik Tezvav Vaidaber Moshe El Hashem Leimor. Usually it's Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Here it's the reverse. It's the only time, only Posik Tan Hokumish. Vaidaber Moshe El Hashem Leimor. Right? Yivkor Hashem Lakeruchas Chobos Ish Al Ha'eda. Okay, Hashem, please, you have to appoint, because the previous Posik said, you know, Moshe's going to die. We know Meimariva, we had a couple of weeks ago, that Moshe's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So he said, okay, you got to appoint somebody. Asher Yeitze Lifneim, Asher Yovo Lifneim. Can't leave the people like a wandering flock of sheep that's got no shepherd. You gotta have somebody who's gonna go in front of them and bring them and put up with them and so on. So the Medrash says in the Sifrei 36 here in Pinchas Piska Kuf Lamites, Vasher Yotzi'em Bizchuyosov, Vasher Yevi'em Bizchuyosov. You need to have a leader who's going to have merits, who's going to be able to hear Zchus. And how many times we see that Moshe stood up on behalf of Klal Yisrael and prevented a Kodesh Baruch from punishment and so on in his chus, right, by Chal Moshe and so on. I mean, I always, you know, you don't have time to think about it, it's a simple story, you know, but the Haftorah, the simple story is the first parak in Yehoshua, right? That's where we read the Haftorah and simple story. Yehoshua takes over. So, I mean, again, it's simple story and it's late and it's tired and everything else, but if you think about the Haftorah for a second, you know, they said that the people are asking, the Yeshua now is taking over. So they're nervous. You're going to be like Moshe. So they said, don't worry, we're going to listen to you just like we listen to Moshe. They're saying the positive sense. I always wondered, is that such a great great commitment? I mean, I'm not sure, right? I mean, the Hashem is with you just like Moshe did. That's all. Oh, good. You know, that's not what Yeshua wants to hear. But anyway, the point is, Moshe is asking for somebody who has Zechuyos, right? Someone who has Zechuyos. And the leader has to be somebody who, in effect, can, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we had back in Parshas Kisisa, so it was source number 16. Shmos Paraklamet Beis Pasek Lamed. 15 and 16. Atem Chatosem Chatok Dolo. I have a job now. I'll bring about it. It's in my zchus and so on. Right? Chal Moshe, right? He's going to daven. So Moshe is going to bring it about. And that's exactly what he's asking. He's asking for someone else who has that power, has those zechuyos, to bring about kapara for the people, either through tefila, through his own zechuyos and so on. That's how the Sifrei understands what Moshe wants. In other words, it's not necessarily, I mean, when you think about it, a moment, you know what I mean. You can tell what are the qualifications of a leader, right? They have to be. I mean, they have to be a great speaker. They have to be a good organizer, a good this, a good that. You know, I mean, people talk about today and all the time. You know, what makes a good, effective leader? And so, but Moshe is asking, according to this approach, is aside from whatever other milas a leader has to have, he has to have the ability to bring about kapara. So that's here as well. Yeah.
So we're also taught that you have your own uprights. Each person, you know, lives or dies by their own actions. So this is describing, like, somehow that there's a is a medium, we could get kapara
for the tzibur. For the tzibur.
Okay, so how far is that? You know, from chasidus.
So this is a big issue for another time. Yes. And the question is, you know, you're not supposed to just go. In other words, you're not supposed to rely on another person. You know, again, one of the objections the Mishnagdim had, this concept of a tzaddik and so on, and the Mishnagdim said the Chassidim went too far with it, and some of them probably did, you know. But it's a good question. It's a little more than I can talk about now, but it is a good question. But the answer is for the tzibur, there is somebody who can have zechuyos, again, if you're attached to the tzibur. If you're attached to the tzibur. You know, I'll just get very quickly to answer the question. I once heard that I think I heard this from Rav Asher Weiss, actually, that when the, I forget now which Rebbe it was, I think when the Vizhnitzer Rebbe became the Rebbe, he was very young. I think it was Vizhnitzer Rebbe, he was very young. And, you know, people coming in with kvitlach and requests, you know, so he went, I think, to the old Klausenberg Rebbe, Rav Asher Weiss, a Talmud of the old Klausenberg Rebbe, and he asked him, what kavanos am I supposed to have? How do I do this? You know, like, what am I supposed to have in mind when I'm davening and so on and so forth? So he said, the way I heard the story, I'm not sure I have the right rebbe's, but the story is good anyway. It's a good point. He said, you have to have it wrong. You're davening somebody else. You're davening for your own brother or your own sister. In other words, what's the idea? Okay, what I let's say a lot of times we daven, we're saying, okay, maybe I don't deserve it, but you know, for the sake of so and so, let me off the hook. But for the sake of somebody else, I may not deserve it. Why should you make him feel bad? In other words. You know, this is an issue, but Lamosha, an American court, okay? An American court, so we have to judge, you know, by what's in front of us. And if you send this guy to jail, he did a crime, he deserves to go to jail. The fact is, his wife and his children are also penalized. They are, right? But nothing we do about it, right? Because Baruch Hu is able to take into account the entire picture. He doesn't want to hurt anyone, doesn't deserve to be hurt. Right, so, but that's what I once saw that as an interpretation. We say in Tzidkos, the pasuk Mishpatecha Tahom Rabu. Mishpatecha Tahom, your judgment plumbs, a human court can't do it. Your judgment plumbs to the depth. So a person may be let off the hook now, not because he doesn't, but I don't want to hurt his father, his brother, his sister, his friend. Right? So now, if you have someone who's a tzaddik, so basically what you're saying when this Rebbe is davening for you, he's saying, well, it'll hurt me if this guy gets punished. Right? So that's what's kind of the idea. That's a broader idea. But anyway, let me just, a couple minutes left, so go move now to, one thing about tzaddik, and we know, okay, the Gemara says in one cut, Chav Chesan Alaf, Amar Ami, Loma Nismech Amisas Mirim, Lepashas Paraduma, Loma Lecham Ma Paraduma Chaperes, Ap Misan Shol Tzaddikim Chaperes. You can ask the same question about that too, you know, the Christian idea of that, but not for now. But Ap Misan Shol Tzaddikim Chaperes. We know that the death of a righteous is Mechaper, or Amar Lezo, Loma Nismech Amisa Aron, Lo Bidei Kuhuna, Ma Bidei Kuhuna Mechaper, Ap Misan Shol Tzaddikim Mechaperin. Okay? So in a certain sense then, possibly, one could think that based on this, you know, oh good, the tzaddik should die because that'll be best, good for the rest of us, right? But the panim yafos, that's the haflor, Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz is the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, a Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, the Sefer Haflor, the Matan Kiddush, Haflor and Ksubas, he wrote a parashah of Chumash called panim yafos. So panim yafos and parashah shoftim, perkof, posuk yimenev sochel, it says, yesh lefar shal vidro shazu, kinir chazal shal bizman shal reis hamikdash kaim karbonos mechabim, bizman shal reis hamikdash misas tzaddikim mechabim, good. Avol onesh hadoros, but it's still not a good thing in the long run, because Hatzadik Avad Ladoro Avad, right? Kiyo Mashpim is almost Ladoro. I call on Mizum Meshulchanin Abini, like Abraham Mendoza said. So it's your point, but somehow the presence of the Tzadik is a positive. Again, an hour for the whole door. In our sense, it's a kapar. He's able to, his Tzidkos or group of Tzadikim is so dazzling that it covers up, you know, the other things. Because Baruch Hu, so to speak, is dazzled by the Meisim Tovim of these individuals, group of individuals, so he doesn't even see, you know, the light is so bright you can't see the dirt and on the floor, whatever, you know what I'm saying. So that's the idea, that's the kind of leader that Moshe wants. Finally, so throughout the Karbonis, okay, the fifth element, and again we tried to show that Kapar is an underlying theme here of all of the ideas in the Sedra. So by all the Yom Tovim, it says, Si'irizim Chatos Echad L'Chaper Aleichem, right? Again, the word L'Chaper Aleichem, by most Yom Tovim. Okay, it's a Sirizim Chatos, doesn't say it by Shabbos, different reason, but Sir Chatos Echor, or Sirizim Chatos Echor, I only printed the one puzzle there by Pesach, Perchov Ches, Pesachov Beis. Sir Chatos Echor Lechaper Aleichem. It's interesting that by Shavuos, which is the next Pesach, Perchov Ches, Pesach Lamed, it says Sirizim Echor Lechaper Aleichem, doesn't say Chatos. So the Yerushalmi notes that, Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah, Perchov Dal, Lechaper Aleichem, Atzeres. Atzeres is the nickname for Shavuos. Atzeres, the Chazal doesn't mean Shmi Atzeres, means Shavuos. Atzeres means the end, because Shavuos is the end of Pesach in the sense that Sfiras Omer links, right? So it's called Atzeres. Atzeres by Shavuos ain't Ksiv Chet. Omer Lev Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mikevon Shekibalt Elechem Ol Torah, Male Elein Elechem Kilo Lo Chatas HaMimechem. By Shavuos, which is the other Kabbalah HaTorah, you don't mention the Chet, because you accept the Torah, Shavuos, accept the Torah, then you don't need the carbon. And this goes, you don't need, it's not called the Chet, you don't have the same need. So every yontif has its kapora. Every yontif has its, every one of these karbonas has a kapora that goes along with it. Shavuos you don't need chait, but the balaturim here in Parshas Pinchas, the last source of 42, has a little bit of a different twist on that. Yushalmi, you know, quotes Yushalmi, and it could be it's a different gear, so it's not exactly the gear we have. But look at 42, Perakov Ches Pasachov Zayin, he has a sort of summary of the things in this Parsha. Bechulon Nemer Lechatas Chutzim Batzeres, Beshulshenitna Batorah Shemechaperes Al Lundel. It's not exactly the same as Yerushalmi said it. The Balaturim says Torah is mechaper on behalf of the people who learn it. It's not like there's no chait. There is a chait. The way the Yerushalmi has it, we have it as a chait, but we don't talk about it on Shavuot. But perhaps we don't consider the chatam on Shavuot. The Balaturim's presentation is that there might be chait, but Torah, study of Torah, limud of Torah overwhelms it and so on. And I think that's also the idea. What do you mean mechaper es al omdel? You could say, okay, a person who's learning will likely do less averes, but it could also mean that by the person who's learning, so that those chuyos that he has to Talmud Torah brings about the kaparas. You know, there is no chait. You know, there is chait, but it's, you know, it's minimized. It's in a corner. It's not. It's again. There's something else that dazzles. There's something else that shines brighter that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to see, so to speak. He doesn't look at the other stuff. So there's sort of as a postscript. In involvement in Limud HaTorah also can bring about kapar. You don't need a base of mikdash, you don't need karponos, you don't need ketores, any things that we spoke, you don't even need the leaders, so to speak. Coming back now to what you said about the individual. The individual can bring kapar for himself. How? Through Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is mechaperes al-lamdu. Okay, thank you.
Shach, thank you very much.